Gib.
It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, May 16th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. The city-owned borough of Sitka is out over $60,000 after a cyber scammer intercepted a payment intended for a contractor. Last fall, a cyber attack targeted a city contractor. According to a press release issued yesterday by the city, the scammer submitted a request for the city to change the contractor's banking information. The request appeared legitimate, so CBS staff approved the change and submitted a $62,795 payment to the account. Once the incident was discovered, the city informed the bank and made efforts to recover the funds, but so far only $4,000 has been retrieved. In an email, Government Relations Director Melissa Weilman told KCAW that, after consultation with the city's attorney and assembly, staff decided against filing an insurance claim to avoid jeopardizing its deductible. The contractor has since been paid for their services. In response to the attack, the city will add new security protocols to reduce its vulnerability to future cyber attacks. According to the release, payment to vendors will likely become more complicated in the future as a result of the additional steps. What is affordable housing? And why doesn't Sitka have more of it? At Tuesday night's assembly meeting, Sitka Tribe of Alaska Communications Director Robin Sherman and Sitka Planning Director Amy Ainsley presented a report on affordable housing that attempted to answer those questions and explore possible approaches the city could take to addressing the problem. Sherman said the average price of a home in Sitka is now over $500,000, which is out of reach for Sitka's median income earners.
A Sitka household earning that median income of about $95,000 is going to struggle with the monthly cost to own this house, especially if it needed repairs. Without paying more than 30% of your income toward housing costs, you'd need a household of income of about $140,000 a year to afford that average price home in Sitka. And that's assuming you're eligible for the state home ownership subsidy program, which starts to phase out around that level of household income depending on household size.
Sherman said a $342,000 house would be more in reach for someone making the median income, but houses in that range are tough to come by or build in Sitka. Ainsley said that's due to a few things: lack of infrastructure, lack of available land, and the high cost of development.
We live in a very high cost environment. As we know, everything, you know, we're an island community. Everything that comes in has to be flown in or barged in. Cost of living is high, which also means that cost of labor is high. And so that high cost environment sort of begets itself and creates more and more of that high cost environment for itself.
Sherman and Ainsley noted that several organizations in Sitka are trying to find solutions to the affordable housing crisis. The Sitka Community Land Trust is working on the second group of cottages in its first affordable housing community and has won grant funding to build a fourplex. The Baranoff Island Housing Authority is constructing an eightplex and extending Herb Diedrichson Street to open up new lots for tribal citizens. And the Sitka Community Coalition is building a tiny home community for unhoused Sitkins. The city has also commissioned a study of city-owned land to identify opportunities for housing development.
So we do have some new subsidized housing in the pipeline, as well as some other development. Believe it or not, Sitka is actually building more housing than any other region of the state, with the exception of the Mat-Su.
Mayor Stephen Eisenbeis thanked them for the work they'd done so far to break down a challenging problem.
In a way, it's a good thing that it's not just a Sitka issue, but it's a hard thing that it's not just a Sitka issue. I kind of wish it was, because then there would be some way we could solve this. However, when the nation is going through the exact same things, it makes it a little bit harder. So thank you for looking into the keys of Sitka, and maybe we can unlock one of these doors to help provide our citizens housing.
Sherman said the Sitka Tribe of Alaska will focus on affordable housing in a June work session with BIHA. The first meeting of the Sitka Housing Network will convene later this year. You can view the full presentation on our website at kcaw.org. The U.S. Forest Service is planning to build a few dozen new cabins on the Tongass and Chugach National Forests in the coming years. The agency is proposing higher fees, $75 a night, to help keep up with the increased cost of maintenance. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
Lifelong Petersburg resident Brian Richards and his wife stay at Forest Service cabins every summer. The 40-year-old says they reserve several cabins that they travel to by boat.
It's like a bucket list. We want to use them all, you know. I'd say we prefer cabins by lakes or rivers, you know, water. It just kind of adds another element.
The couple sees their cabin stays as good for their mental health. Richards calls it natural therapy, which helps them reconnect.
The more we get out there and walk around and look at the trees and listen to the birds and just, you know, disconnect from civilization, I think it's just, it's incredibly beneficial.
Richards is excited to see more cabins coming to the area. The Forest Service plans two new cabins on the Tongass this year and four next year. They're mostly on the road system for increased accessibility. There is one near Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Juneau. Similarly, there are six new cabins scheduled for the Chugach, with half built this year and half next year. That means that the Forest Service needs to set the nightly fees for the cabins soon. The agency is required to have fees set 6 months before they charge them.
And it can be tricky.
John Suwamala is the recreation program manager for the Tongass and helps set the fees. He uses a cost analysis that looks at several factors, such as local economies and what similar cabins are going for.
Part of it, too, is just local expertise, you know, from the districts, people that live in these communities, you know, just kind of thinking about what are the prices within these communities now and, you know, what do you think your neighbors are willing to pay.
The nightly fees for staying at a Forest Service cabin in Alaska mostly range from $35 to $75. All of the new cabins are proposed for $75 a night, except for two. One near Ketchikan is $65, and one at Juneau's Mendenhall Campground is $125 because it has electricity and nearby showers. The new cabins are just a fraction of what's available to the public. The Tongass has 142 cabins just in Southeast. Most are remote and get visitors less than 10 nights a year. Suwamala says the popular, more accessible cabins help subsidize the remote ones. And that's their hope with the new cabins coming on board. But ultimately, he says, the public will help set the price.
We want feedback to, you know, to get an idea. Like, are we way off here? Do you think it should be higher? Do you think it should be lower? We can't raise the fee based on feedback from the public, but we can lower it.
As for Richards, he says $75 a night won't be a deal breaker for him and his wife, Ola.
Because it's worth it for us. I guess my concern is for a lower income family, I would hate to think that someone wouldn't stay at a cabin because they can't afford it. I think that's a real shame.
The deadline for public comments on the proposed cabin fees is July 2nd. People can comment in person, online, by phone, email, or snail mail. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
A 91-year-old cruise tourist is suing the Ketchikan Borough for negligence after his mobility scooter tipped over on a public bus last year. The complaint was filed in federal court in Alaska on May 8th. It says that Donald Gillingham of Montana and his wife were on a cruise that docked in Ketchikan in September of 2023. Gillingham has limited mobility, so they rented a motorized scooter and boarded a public bus. The complaint states that the elderly man's mobility scooter tipped over when the bus made a left turn. It also says that Gillingham sustained serious injuries from the fall, although he wasn't aware of that at the time. It wasn't until he returned to the cruise ship and was later evaluated at Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau that he found he'd sustained three broken ribs and a punctured lung. Ketchikan's public buses have straps along the side to secure mobility scooters. Gillingham's attorneys claim that because the straps aren't mandatory, the driver didn't require him to use them. Gillingham's attorneys, Mark and John Coate, declined to comment on the case. Ketchikan Borough Manager Ruben Duran said that he's aware of a potential lawsuit, but hadn't been served any notice. The complaint accuses the Ketchikan Borough of one count of negligence and one count of loss of consortium. The loss of consortium is a charge filed on behalf of Gillingham's wife, Patricia Gillingham, and alleges that the physical and emotional trauma her husband suffered has eroded the quality of their marriage. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now, taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Thursday, May 16th, 2024. A 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, with a high near 49. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, with a low around 42. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. You're tuned in to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock. We're headed in-